two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Yeah, you know, we try to get the band back together at least once a week, although we keep saying we're going to get together more often, but schedules and Navadomskis up at camp and Russ at the cabin makes it kind of tough to meet somewhere in the middle. Tim Hughes, and reminding everybody, we record this program every Thursday here at Broadcast House in downtown Salt Lake City. At least that's where I am. Russ Smith is at the Sky Call Camp up in Sugar House. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
How's your week?
Well, it's been really busy.
Yeah.
People are putting us through the paces here.
That's good.
It is good. We've pretty much activated everything that's around here. The dog's mad about having a SIM card in her ear. That didn't make much sense, but anyway, you get the gist.
You told us last week that you were surprised to find more people were actually, what was it, buying full year services or something instead of just rentals.
Yeah, a lot of people are buying phones. I'm moving into the next generation,
which means what?
Well, they've grown of age, I guess. I don't know. I'm just making this up.
Okay. Well, find an ending to your story.
We're moving a lot of equipment, both rentals and sales.
Oh, good.
This summer. Yeah. Very happy about it.
Well, that should mean more people are actually checking some bucket list things off and getting back out. And,
I hope so.
Improving their lives. At least that's the hope. Navadomskis has certainly been doing that, although my understanding is he's back in the kitchen in Kaysville instead of up at camp in an undisclosed area. Well, have we ever told people where you spend your summer months? I don't know.
No.
Maybe he doesn't want them to know.
All right, we're not going to tell.
But they all guess. Well, it's funny, on Facebook, they're looking at pictures and they guess where I am.
Yeah. Well,
I'm actually down here because I'm planning. We got a big trip next week.
Oh, where are you going?
Montana. We got a couple rivers we're floating.
And this is headed back to one of the cabins that you've VRBO'd before?
Yeah, well, that's one. It turns out we got another permit we didn't expect. So we're debating on which one to do. We got two rivers to float and only a week to float both. So we're deciding which one we're going to do. I've been working on menus and all that stuff. It's a lot of logistics.
Yeah. Normally, I would say, boy, that sounds like a great way to escape the heat, but I know Montana has also been hitting some record temps in the past couple of days.
Yeah, that's why we secured one of our permits that we didn't expect, because they had cancellations because of the low water flows. They can't take regular rafts down this year. And, you know, my guys, we float in small crafts. So we are able to do it, but we have to – well, we're still weighing the pros and cons of switching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the questions I had for Russ this week. With the phones that you see going out, I'm just guessing that maybe there are fewer people trying to run rivers just because of flows right now.
Well, the flows aren't as bad right this minute as people have made them out to be, in that I get the report back, especially from Desolation Canyon. That's the one I would expect to be down, but they're still able to float it. It's not like August yet, so but it's going to drop pretty quick. Always check before you go.
Definitely going to be a shorter season, I would imagine, for most things. And Navi, we've talked about this, and I guess we may again during the Fish Bites segment coming up in the next half hour, that even with water, the lower water levels means lower oxygen for these fish. And so that, too, affects your ability to get out and have a good day of fishing.
No question. I think we're fine, though. June is fine. That's going to be problematic as the summer wears on, for sure. But the rivers we're going are still cold, even though there's just not enough water.
Yeah. Just tough stories everywhere. I have a niece and nephew that live in Tucson, Arizona, and it's supposed to be 117 both today and tomorrow. So hard to complain about 98 that's expected along the Wasatch Front for the next couple of days. And we do, in the forecast, have just that slight chance, 10% chance of some clouds that at the least will block out some of that sun and lower temperatures, but hopefully will bring just a little bit of precipitation. Grant Wayman was telling us this morning on Utah's Morning News not to stress too much. Won't need the umbrella, but right now I think people would be out dancing in the rain if they actually found any. I'm going to be talking fishing with, I call him a friend, but he's really more like a family member, old buddy of my brother's, Ken, who goes on the road with us sometimes for some of our road trip excursions. Jack Scott, who lives in St. George down there, he's actually up in the Kenai Peninsula on a bucket lister. And he posted some pictures on his Facebook a couple of days ago of two king salmon, a couple of halibut, one in each hand, and a little cod, he says, some sort that he's going to get eaten, which I'm sure is already done by now. But he's having the time of his life up there in what used to be your backyard, Mr. Navidomskis.
Yeah, yeah. I've been back to Alaska, but yeah, you know, question. It's a bucket list trip of a lifetime that you got to do every year.
Yeah, so speaking of fishing, it looks like the fishing's good, but we'll be checking in live with Jack Scott coming up in this next half hour, just right after we get you a news update. Covey Jones is also going to check in with us. Covey, of course, is the big game manager, the big game coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, and we're going to be talking today about moose encounters in the state of Utah. And I think, Russ, every time we have one of these conversations, you talk about coming almost nose-to-nose with a mama, didn't you, that was snorting and blowing at you.
That story gets better every year.
Yeah.
I was fresh out of California. That was a long time ago. I thought I could just follow a moose around and take pictures. And I found out the daddy moose wasn't really thrilled about that.
Yeah.
And had me laying on my back in the river rock. I could feel his breath hitting my face.
I remember that now. Covey tells his story, and this is the reason why we think it's important to talk about it. Lots of wildlife, obviously, are coming down into civilization looking for water during this drought. And I've seen a lot of videos and certainly photos of moose along with other animals that have come down and wandering through Main Street of small towns around Utah and elsewhere. But he tells the story. He says while he's spent his time in the outdoors, he's run into bears, rattlesnakes, cougars, and moose, and he says moose is the only one that has turned around to come back after him once the encounter occurred. So that'll tell you something. Navi, have you ever had any nose-to-nose encounters with moose in all your time outdoors?
Well, like I say, nothing like Russ was talking about. I remember one time when I was 7 years old in Yellowstone, there was these guys, this is back in the 60s, and there was like what my grandpa called hippies, sitting there eating out of a can, and then we're out on the lake and we look and one of the so-called hippies got on the moose and he started bucking him and that hippie went flying.
I do remember that story. And you'll notice Navidomskis soft pedals the hippie story because he considers himself to have been one at some point in his life.
presently
a hippie.
Yeah, I'm always a hippie.
And looking forward to getting back into the tie-dye, I'm sure. Covey Jones will join us after the top of the next hour. Road tripping, Bob and Mark are going to help us find some spots to get away from the summer heat. And, you know, besides just telling people to head to the high country, they've got some specific ideas for you. So we'll look forward to that coming up at 7:20. And then, Navi, you'll love this. The irony of us this week talking about a record high temperature of 107 degrees, which has been explained away a little bit by our chief meteorologist here, Kevin Eubank. He mentioned the point, and I think we brought this up in the past. Yes, we have warming environments, not just here in Utah, but around the world. However, some of these weather stations, and this one in particular in Utah, has never been moved from where it was located on the west side of the valley in what used to be a field and is now concrete, tarmac, and rocks at the Salt Lake International Airport. Anyway, we topped out at 107 the other day, which some of that may explain some of that away. But on the week we're talking about these very warm temperatures, we're also talking about record-breaking skier days in Utah. How about that?
Pretty good.
Well, I think it has little to do with the weather and more than the interest. You can credit our show and other things like it to get the people out. But the snow is definitely not what it used to be. But I can tell you there are a whole lot more people doing it.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that we had good ski conditions that enough people came to enjoy also speaks volumes. We could always use more. There's no doubt about that. But Nathan Rafferty will join us from Ski Utah at 7:35 this morning. And then, Muscle, I hope you've done your homework because we're still reserving a camp spot for you.
I thought about where would I go if it was hotter than the devil,
yeah,
in Salt Lake. I think I would go to Palisades State Park.
All right.
Remember that state park?
I do. And we'll talk about Palisades State Park and give you some specifics on how to get there and what to look forward to when you arrive. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we are going to have some news of the week for you, including a whale of a tale. I'm sure you've heard about it. We're going to do a little deeper dive with a lobster diver coming up next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Time for a little news of the week this week. And as always, Tim, along with Russell and Navi, we're both in the midst of having breakfast, I think, which I'm a little jealous of right now. But, you know, the benefits of working from home or being retired, I guess, which is a ways off. It's a ways off for me.
You're not eating my breakfast, so I don't know.
Oh, it's not that good?
Well, it's just eggs.
Navidovskis appears to be really enjoying his in the background.
Mine is really good. And, Tim, that retirement's coming sooner than you think. You just don't know it yet.
Just keep twisting, buddy. I've asked you, if I retire earlier than actually I had planned, will you and Gail then support me in those retirement years?
Oh.
Well, we'll support you emotionally for sure.
Emotions don't buy my breakfast eggs that you're in the midst of right now.
You have more money than you think. You're just one of those conservative persons.
I know I'm a rich man. Before we get into this story, which is just really unbelievable but turns out to be true, I should have asked at the top of the show, how's your face?
Yeah, I had a little cancer spell with my nose, but they cut it off, my nose.
Well, I've heard you've been wandering around the golf course with some kind of nose cover that makes you look like the bad guy from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Is that true?
It's duct tape.
It's duct tape?
I'm not making that up. I have colored duct tape. The bandages don't hold when I sweat and they fall off. And so I just coat that baby with duct tape and I pick a new color every day.
Oh, I was going to pick red. I thought I'd be right on that. But
well, today I'm wearing yellow.
All right. Yellow duct tape. Just look for him. He'll be easy to spot on the on the ninth green. All right. Here's the story, and I'm sure you've heard it. The whale of a tale of the lobster fisherman, quote-unquote fisherman, that got swallowed by a whale. Stop me if you've heard this before, either of you. Have you heard it?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So this guy, let me see if I can find his name here. Last name Packard, first name Michael. Michael Packard entered the water for his second day of dives. He was just off of Herring Cove Beach and went down for a dive. He said he felt a little bump, and all of a sudden, he was in the dark, completely black. This was a week ago Friday. He said, I could sense I was moving, but I could feel something around my feet. So he has his scuba gear on. He was feeling around because he thought he'd been swallowed by a great white shark. He figured that was the only thing big enough to, you know, take him in a gulp. He felt no teeth. It turns out that it was a giant whale that had swallowed him up while doing feeding. So he started thrashing his legs around and moving around, and he felt the whale shake its head, like, what the heck have I swallowed? And all of a sudden found himself outside. And he figures he was in there for 30 to 40 seconds before the whale finally surfaced and spit him out. Now, you could say this is a guy just looking for his 15 minutes of fame, but there were witnesses to all of this.
Amazing.
You know, Tim, I believe the story 100%. I don't think people really make up as many lies as people say. You know, I think that when people say something, you should trust them.
Yeah. Well, so it was a humpback whale. Described as being medium-sized, and suspects it was a juvenile feeding on sand lance, which is out of my realm of knowledge here. And they said when a humpback opens its mouth to feed, it billows out like a parachute, blocking the animal's forward vision, which is why so many get entangled in fishing gear in their mouths and jaws. And this one time happened to take the diver all the way into its throat. Luckily, it has a happy ending. The guy got out. He was banged up a little bit, obviously. But he had quite a story to tell this week that's getting covered in headlines all over the country. I'm surprised both of you escaped it. But again, that's one of the benefits, I think, of just being out of the loop to the point where you don't need a clock, you don't need a watch, and you don't really care what's happening in the news. So congratulations for both of you, or to both of you, for avoiding that altogether.
Thank you. Thank you. This is the goal of everybody to check out.
Yeah.
Great story, Tim. That's really fun.
Yeah. Also, I want to just drop in a little note here because it is something we're dealing with. And if you live in an area, one of the urban interface zones that we talk about from time to time, certainly when it comes to wildfires, but now when it comes to wildlife, if you've found your neighborhoods being visited quite often by big game, deer and others, they've listed some ways to keep deer from eating your garden, or if you're interested, that is, in learning how to help the wildlife, they list a few things that you should know. And if you want more details about that, just go to the news section of wildlife.utah.gov. We don't have time to get that information out to you right now, but it is worth a read and something that will help not just you and your gardening, but also help the wildlife if they do happen to come into your backyard. We're going to take another break. When we come back, news of the week, and on the other side, we'll go fishing to the Kenai Peninsula. Old buddy of mine, more like a brother from another mother. I have several of those. Two of them join me every week on this program. Jack Scott will check in with us. I'm anxious to hear some of his tales, and he's quite a storyteller. So that's coming up next, and then Fish Bites on the way with Navinomska. Stay with us.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.